Chapter 26. Castile's gaze met mine. Sensing a thread of concern in him, I nodded before he could question me. A faint smile appeared, and then he motioned for the guard to open the door. The airy, brightly lit room smelled of coffee, and the first person I noticed was his mother. She sat on a dove-gray settee, wearing a simple short-sleeved gown of pale blue. Her onyx-hued hair was once again twisted in a simple knot at the base of her neck. She had just placed a small cup on a low-profile table and appeared frozen there as she stared at Castile with bright amber eyes. A rush of emotion poured from her. Relief, joy, love. And underneath all of that was something tangy. Sorrow. There was a throbbing, steady current of grief as she rose, reminding me very much of what I'd often felt from Castile when we first met. My gaze inched away to where the fair-haired man stood at the back of the room, a short glass of amber liquid in his hand. Neither he nor the queen wore their crowns, and I wasn't sure if that was common or not while in their private residences. I was almost convinced that Queen Ileana and King Jalara wore theirs to bed. Goosebumps pimpled my flesh as Castile's father stared directly at me. I didn't hold his stare in challenge, but simply looked elsewhere. I felt barely anything from him. Castile's father was either very reserved or knew how to block his emotions. They weren't the only people in the room. Standing by a large window overlooking a garden was the commander of the Crown Guard. Hysa stood quietly, her hands clasped behind her back. Hulk. The nickname was a soft breath on the queen's lips as she refocused on her son. Mother, he said, and I noticed a roughness to his voice that stung my eyes. It struck me then that they hadn't had a chance to even speak since his return. She rushed forward, tripping over the corner of a cream rug. Castile was there, catching her before she even really stumbled. She laughed as she threw her arms around him. I was so glad when I heard that you planned to see us today. Look at you. Castile's mother drew back, clasping his cheeks. She brushed at his hair. Look at you, she repeated, and then pulled him in for another hug, one tighter and longer than the first. Castile didn't just allow it, he welcomed it. Watching him be held by his mother softened, well, it softened every part of me. He was Castile, the Dark One. I'd seen him remove a man's heart with barely a flicker of emotion and launch himself into trees and use his fangs to tear through throats. He was capable of great strength and terrible violence. And yet right now, he was only a boy in his mother's arms. Mother, his voice was a bit rough around the edges. You may be cracking a rib or two of mine. Her laugh was light and happy as she pulled back. That is doubtful. She placed a hand on his cheek again. Have you gotten taller?
No, mother.
You sure? She asked.
The boy stopped growing ages ago, right around the time he stopped listening to us.
His father finally spoke, and his tone was fond despite the words. She laughed again, patting Castile's cheek. She may have said something else because Castile nodded and then stepped aside. He extended a hand toward me.
I would like to properly introduce you to my wife, he said,
warm honey eyes meeting mine.
Penelope.
Keeping my gaze locked with his, I came forward, placing my hand in his. He squeezed my hand as the sweet taste of chocolate filled my senses. I exhaled slowly, returning the gesture as I looked at his mother.
Maybe it was my years as the maiden, because instinct guided my actions and had nothing to do with the hum of awareness that seemed to vibrate through my blood. I bowed at the waist and then straightened. "It is an honor to meet you officially," the words spilled quietly from my lips. "Castile has spoken so warmly of you." Amusement stretched from Castile, but from his mother I got what felt like a cool splash of water filtered back to me, mingled with an edge of disbelief. It was almost as if she were finally looking at me, and maybe this was the first time since I'd entered the room. There was no doubt in my mind that she had learned what had happened in the wastelands, so I couldn't exactly blame her for being shocked to see me standing before her, relatively normal, and not a blood-hungry vampire. A jolt ran through me because, as unbelievable as it was, I sometimes forgot, if only for a few minutes, what had happened. When I remembered, like now, I also felt a dose of disbelief. But Castile's mother had gone completely still as she stared at me, the blood draining rapidly from her features. "Mother," Castile started toward her, "are you all right?" "Yes," she said, clearing her throat as her husband came forward a step. My spine stiffened as she continued staring at me. "It's just, I'm sorry." Her golden eyes widened as a weak smile formed. "I just can't believe what I'm seeing. Valen told me what happened, that you were ascended." "I couldn't let her die," Castile stated before I could. Anger simmered from him like a riptide under still waters. "I knew exactly what I was doing, and what I did is on me, not her." Queen Iloana's gaze flicked to her son. "I know. That is what your father said. I don't hold her responsible for what you did." My breath caught. "You shouldn't hold Castile responsible either. I'm not a vampire."
"I can see that," she said,
her gaze tracking over my features as if she were searching for a hint of the ascended we all knew.
"But what if you had become that?"
"What if?" Castile challenged, softly releasing my hand. His father took a long drink from the glass he held, and I had a feeling we were quickly veering down the same path Castile and his father had taken about my ascension. I truly didn't want a repeat of that. "We can't change what was done to me or what Castile did to save my life. It happened," I said, clasping my fingers together tightly. "And obviously, we are all lucky that I didn't turn into a vampire. It seems rather pointless to continue discussing what could have happened when it simply did not. He understood the risk, he still took the chance, and I'm still here, not a vampire. It's over." The anger receded in Castile, but the coolness of his mother's surprise grew.
"It's only over if what was done in those ruins remains between those who were present. If word of what happened were ever to make it out, some would possibly see you as no different than the ascended. So it's not simply over, just because it seemingly turned out well."
Her tone was level, but there was a condescending touch to it that scalded my throat and stung my eyes. Warm skin brushed against my arm. Kieran had stepped in closer to me, and the simple touch was another jolt, reminding me of how such a thing had been forbidden to me as the maiden, and that made me think of all those years I'd been forced to remain quiet, to allow anything to be said in front of me or about me or to me, to accept whatever was done to me. And I'd been so worried about his parents accepting me, even before Castile and I had stopped pretending and admitted that what we felt for one another was real. I still wanted their acceptance. But what was done to me had been done to both of us. We hadn't chosen to be put in that situation. Those who called Atlantia their home had.
her people had. I pushed through the burn in my throat because I had to, because I wore no veil now. Some instinct told me that what happened right now could very well shape the dynamics of my relationship with Castile's parents from here on out. The gods knew it was already on shaky ground, but they weren't the Tiermans, who had been my guardians when I lived in Macedonia. They were not Queen Ileana and King Jalara, and I didn't escape one crown only to be silenced and patronized by another. I met and held her gaze as I shut down my senses, not allowing myself to read anyone in the room. At this moment, what I felt mattered. It's over, because not only is lecturing Castile irrelevant and serves no purpose other than to imply he's guilty of something, when in reality, your people are the only ones who are guilty. My chin lifted a notch, but also because it's a rather repetitive, tiresome conversation at this point. Queen Iloana's nostrils flared as she inhaled a sharp breath, her lips parted, but I wasn't done. Furthermore, regarding what happened in the wastelands, spreading beyond those who were present, I'm not sure that is a concern. As I understand it, the Wolven are loyal to me and won't do anything that causes harm to come to me. Is that not correct, Kieran?
That is correct, he answered.
The Atlanteans present are loyal to Castile, and I do not believe he feels they will betray him, I said, still holding the Queen's gaze. Am I right, Castile?
You are,
he confirmed, his tone not nearly as dry as Kieran's. Still, there was an undeniable smokiness to it. With the exception of the king, the remaining witnesses are dead, and it can be safely assumed they will not be sharing the events of the night anytime soon, I continued, my fingers beginning to ache from how tightly I clasped them. But in the rare off chance that what happened that night becomes widely known, I'm still unsure what there is to be concerned about. The Atlantean people appear to be intelligent enough to realize that since I have no fangs and can walk in the sun, I am not a vampire. Or am I overestimating the people's common sense? No one responded. It was so quiet in the room that a cricket could have sneezed and we would have heard it. Castile broke the tense silence.
You have not overestimated the people, and not only is this conversation pointless, it's also offensive considering she was attacked by our people. We had no knowledge of Alistair's plans, or that the Unseen were active and involved in this, the Queen stated. Nor did he give us any indication that he was plotting such a thing. When Alistair came with Kieran to alert us of the Ascended's arrival in Spessa's End, his father said, he told us about your intention to marry and his belief that it was tied to Malik. He took a quick drink, clearing his throat.
I felt it, though, push through the walls around my senses before it vanished. The burst of tangy, almost bitter agony.
He said he was unsure how committed you two truly were to each other.
We're committed, Castile advised, as the rush of hot anger joined my irritation.
Very. I do not doubt that, his father drawled. I think one would have to be blind not to notice that.
I thought of the way Castile had kissed me in front of his father, and my cheeks warmed.
Is that all? Alistair said,
I asked. Did he know that I was a descendant of the deities?
Alistair told us who you were and what you could do, Queen Iloana acknowledged. We knew what that meant. No average mortal with Atlantean blood could have those abilities. Any of us who is old enough to remember the deities would have known, though maybe not at first. No one would even be thinking of that. But at some point, Alistair became aware of your heritage and realized who you were.
But
You knew the moment you saw me, I said, remembering the look on her face as if I'd seen it yesterday. Alistair told you that it wasn't too late, because he knew what it meant for the crown, as I did when I saw you. I saw how you radiated light. I knew what you were, she told us. I didn't understand what he meant in the chambers when he said it wasn't too late. But after becoming aware of his plans, I imagine he believed we'd support what he hoped to accomplish. Which was to hand me over to the Ascended so they could kill me? I said, suppressing the shudder that rose at how close he'd come to succeeding. Just like those in the chambers who attacked me before you all arrived. I tried to stop them.
Tried? King Valens said with an incredulous laugh that reminded me so much of Castile. I would say you succeeded, maiden.
Castile's head snapped toward his father. Tension stiffened his broad shoulders.
Her name is Penelope, and if you get my wife's permission, you may call her that. If not, then you may call her princess. Whatever rolls more respectfully off your tongue. But what you will never refer to her as is the maiden. Do you understand me?
I pressed my lips together. His words, his tone. I didn't know why, but I wanted to smile. His father drew back, eyes flaring wide, but his wife held up a hand.
Your father nor I mean any disrespect, Hawk.
You don't? I blurted out, and her golden gaze shot to me.
No,
she stated, her delicate brow pinching.
We do not.
I stared at the queen, at my mother-in-law. When you first saw me, you spoke as if Castile had brought a curse back to the kingdom, instead of a wife.
I was caught off guard by what I saw, she responded. As I imagine anyone would have been.
Her brow tightened even further.
I never expected you.
And I never expected any of this. I held her stare, needing her to understand that I wasn't the maiden, that I wasn't the Ascended's tool like those in the temple had believed. Alistair wouldn't have known this, but I was there when the Ascended delivered their gifts at Spess's End. My chest squeezed as I thought of Elijah, Magda, of all of them who had been murdered so senselessly. I fought them alongside Castile. I killed the Duchess of Macedonia. I healed your people, even as some of them looked upon me as if I were some kind of monster. I didn't force your guards to attack me, and that's who some of those people were, weren't they? Guards of the crown, members of the unseen. The queen remained silent as I leaned forward. It didn't go unnoticed how the king shifted, as if he wished to stand and shield his wife, or how Hysa stepped forward. Maybe later I'd feel ashamed for the savage rush of satisfaction that gave me, or maybe I wouldn't. I don't know what you might think of me or what Alistair shared with you, but I didn't choose to be the maiden or to wear the veil. I didn't choose to be a descendant of some deity or come back here and break bonds or usurp any bloodlines. The only thing I have ever chosen is your son. Castile's head tipped back, and his chest rose with a deep breath, but he remained quiet, letting me speak for myself. Did Alistair tell you that when he arrived from Spess's End? I asked.
No,
his father responded quietly.
He did not.
I didn't think so. Castile spoke then.
We came here in hopes that you two could help us determine what my wife ascended into. And on a personal note, I'd hoped that you'd get to know Penelope a little and vice versa. But if we're going to rehash the past, then there's nothing left for us to do but take our leave. But we must speak of the past, his mother said, and Castile went rigid. Just
Not in the way you think, she added with a heavy exhale. I finally opened my senses, letting them stretch out toward her. The tanginess of anguish was so extreme that I almost took a step back. She smoothed a hand over her already coiffed hair as her husband joined her at her side in the same silent way Castile often moved. He placed a hand on her shoulder as she said, I need to apologize. I truly did not mean to cause offense, but I know that I have. My shock over the entire situation has obviously made a mess of me, she said, reaching up and folding a hand over her husband's. But there is no excuse, because you are both right. Her gaze swept back to me, especially you. What was done was not your fault, or my son's, and what I had planned to say to you was how sorry I am for what happened. There was sincerity there, tasting of contrition, and I relaxed a little. Both Valin and I are relieved that you are, that you stand before us with our son. There was a beat of emotion I couldn't read because it came and went so quickly. I should have said this as soon as you walked into the room, but I... She trailed off, shaking her head. I am deeply sorry, Penelope. I watched Castile's father dip his chin to kiss his mother's temple, an act that tugged at my heart, reminding me of Castile. The breath I took no longer scalded my throat, even if my skin still prickled with pent-up frustration. But Castile's parents had been dealt a shock. I couldn't forget that she likely knew I shared the same blood as her first husband. I was a painful reminder of a past she probably wished never to think of. And while the part of me that existed in the center of the hum in my chest wanted me to turn around and leave, I knew that would be as pointless as lecturing Castile. Besides, I was capable of compassion, and I did feel empathy for his mother, for both of his parents. I was not what they expected. Ever. It's okay. You haven't had a chance to really see Castile, let alone speak to him, and I can understand why you'd be shocked to see me as I am, and not as one should be after an ascension, I said. There was no missing the twin bursts of surprise from both his parents. Queen Iloana blinked rapidly while her husband stared at me as if I'd sprouted a third arm. His mother recovered first. Thank you for being so understanding, especially when we are the ones who have so much to atone for. Please, she extended an arm to identical settees that sat across from the one she had been seated upon. Have a seat. Castile glanced back at me, the question clear in his eyes. He was leaving it up to me whether we stayed or left. I reached out to him, welcoming the weight and feel of his fingers around mine. I nodded. Relief was evident from both his parents. Would either of you like something to drink? Kieran, she asked. We passed on the offer as we sat in the thickly cushioned settee, the kind I could easily imagine curling up in to read a book. Just not that damn diary. Kieran remained standing, taking a guard position behind the settee, and it didn't escape me that that was exactly what he was doing. He was standing guard directly behind me, his hand resting on the hilt of his sheathed sword. That had to send a rather uncomfortable message. I hope that what you saw of Atlantia yesterday has shown you that your experiences with us so far are not who we are, King Valin stated, his stare nearly as intense as his son's as he revealed their knowledge of how we'd spent the day before. He and his wife sat, and those you may have met yesterday are more of a representation. I want nothing more than for that to be true, I admitted. What I've seen so far of Cyan's Cove has been lovely. His father nodded.
I want to make sure that's the only truth you come to know. We learned last night that we owe you our gratitude, something else I should have said already.
The Queen's citrine bright gaze fixed on me. I tasted the lemon of curiosity, a tart blast of confusion, and the tangy undercurrent of sorrow. Thank you for aiding the child who was injured in the carriage accident. You prevented a great, unnecessary tragedy.
I glanced at Castile, unsure of how to answer.
You're welcome seemed like an odd way to respond in this situation. His hand tightened around mine.
I only did what I could to help her.
The king arched a brow.
Only did what you could. You saved that child's life. That was no simple act.
I shifted in my seat, uncomfortable.
My wife is far humbler than I am,
Castile asserted, and there was a soft, barely audible but recognizable snort from behind me. The corners of my lips turned down as Castile's gaze slid to mine.
If I were capable of doing what she did, I would have my greatness inked on my skin.
Really? I replied dryly. That sounds excessive.
But, as you already know, I am excessive in all things,
he told me, in a voice that was all lush, decadent smoke. Warmth crept into my cheeks as a wicked heat settled low in my belly. Immediately, I thought of what we'd done on the beach the night before. That had been excessive. Castile grinned. His father cleared his throat.
Have you always been able to do what you did with the child?
Pulling my gaze from Castile and my mind from very inappropriate places, I answered. No, I haven't, I said, and then gave a brief recap of the evolution of my abilities. They were changing before I ascended.
I figured it had to do with the culling,
Castile supplied.
The culling would explain the change,
his mother agreed.
And this was before the ascension. I know of no other half-Atlantean to go through the culling.
His father eyed me closely.
Or any ascended mortal with Atlantean blood who went through a culling and did not become a vampire. But then again, I know of no other half-Atlantean descended from the gods who is alive today.
Me either, I said, and then cringed.
Obviously I didn't.
Gods.
Amusement trickled in from Castile, and surprisingly, his father. A faint grin appeared on the king's face as Castile said,
You said you know of no other that is alive today. Are you saying there were others like her before?
I almost wanted to smack myself for not catching that earlier. The queen nodded.
It didn't happen often, but deities did create children with either Atlanteans or mortals. When that happened, the ether of the deity often manifested in the child in one way or another. Of course, that manifestation was stronger if the other parent was Atlantean.
The children, the ones from those who were mortal, I asked, my need for answers great.
They were still mortal?
She nodded as she picked up her small white cup from the table. From what I remember, they healed faster than most mortals from injuries, and they were not often sick, she explained, as she looked to her husband, taking a sip. I had always healed fast, and I rarely ever got sick. But they remained mortal, aging the same as any other. They probably would have lived slightly longer if it weren't for their need to chase after death.
What does that mean?
Castile asked.
Those who carried the blood of the gods were often warriors, the first to stop a fight and sometimes start one,
the king explained. They were the bravest men and women I've ever known, fighting in the trenches alongside Atlantean soldiers. Most, if not all of them, died in the war, or were taken captive by the Ascended once they realized the blood they carried within them. My stomach soured. They were probably fed upon or used to create more Ascended, facing a brief but no less horrific taste of what Castile had suffered, and his brother currently lived. My lip curled as I shook my head. Gods. I swallowed hard as Castile squeezed my hand. How long have the Ascended been doing this?
As long as they have breathed,
the king said, and I shuddered.
They have committed atrocious sins against Atlanteans, mortals, and the gods.
None of what he said was an understatement.
The thing is, though,
his father continued as he rested his elbows on the settee,
not even the children of a deity and an Atlantean had abilities that manifested so strongly in them as they have for you. What you did at the chambers is something not even the most powerful elemental Atlantean can do,
he said, sliding a thumb along his jaw as he looked between Castile and me.
You asked me in the Temple of Sion if I could explain what happened to you when Castile ascended you, and you told us that you didn't know,
Castile replied.
That wasn't entirely a lie,
he said, glancing at his wife before turning to Castile.
The past that your mother spoke of plays a role in this, what you've become, but it doesn't explain how.
Icy fingers of unease touched the nape of my neck, sending a shiver down my spine.
Your parents?
His mother asked as she tipped forward slightly.
You believed them both to be mortal.
I did, I said, shoulders tensing.
But I'm not so sure now. I don't even know if they were my birth parents.
Her throat worked on a swallow.
And you have a brother.
Alistair had definitely informed them well. I do. He is older by 2 years.
And he ascended?
She asked, and I nodded stiffly. She clasped her hands lightly in her lap.
Are you sure of that? He has only ever been seen at night,
Castile confirmed.
Beyond that, there is no way of knowing. But he has been seen multiple times. I do not believe they are using him for food, in the same way they intend to use Penelope.
I knew what his parents were thinking, that Ian was either my half-brother or not my brother by blood at all. If either were the case, I didn't care. He was still my sibling, just as my parents, who had given their lives to protect us, would always be the only mother and father I knew.
I believe that we can answer some of the questions you have,
his mother stated, her gaze briefly meeting her husband's. Castile squeezed my hand as I said,
Alistair told me that I share similar abilities with Malek,
Queen Iloana interjected, her sorrow becoming a thickness that cast a pall on the room.
You do. You would. He spoke the truth.
Sucking in a sharp breath, I was stunned, and even more surprised by the fact that I was so shocked. Apparently, some part of me hadn't wanted to believe it was true. I sat back, trying to pull my hand free of Castile's grip. He held on as he angled his body toward mine.
It doesn't matter, Poppy. I told you that before.
His gaze snared mine.
It doesn't matter to me. And it doesn't matter to us,
Kieran stated softly from behind us, bravely speaking for the entirety of the Wolven.
You actually look like him,
Castile's mother whispered, and my head swung in her direction.
Even if I hadn't seen the power radiating from you, I would have known exactly who you came from. You have many of his features and his hair, though his was a shade of red that carried more brown in it, and his skin was a little darker than yours.
I could feel the blood slowing in my veins. I was always told that I looked like my mother.
By who? She asked.
By Queen Ileana had told me that, ever since I could remember. She'd said that I was a replica of my mother when she was my age. I never once questioned that growing up, and even though I was beginning to suspect that at least one of my parents wasn't related to me by blood, I'd never truly thought it was my mother.
Castile stared at me for a moment and then turned to his mother and father.
What are you saying? What we're saying is that it's impossible for the ones you believed to be your parents to be who you remember them to be.
King Malin's tone was softer than what I even imagined him being able to accomplish.
Or they were not your parents at all, because we know who one of them was.
The sympathy that radiated from the queen nearly choked me.
Malek had to have been your father, Penelope.